Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Harvest Baptist family. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you all again. The last time we were here was in 2015, I believe, and you guys took us on as your missionaries, and you have been faithful in your prayers and your support, and we're so very thankful for you. Again, my name is Josiah DeCunha. My wife's name is Gloria, and we thank the Lord that for the last 11 and a half years we've been married. The Lord has blessed us with four wonderful children, a princess whose name is Tirza, and she is 9 years old, and then three pirates, Jonathan, who is 7, and then twin boys, Silas and Matthias, who will be turning 4 next month. We've been in Portugal for almost the last 7 years. The first 2 years, we served at Ejgueira Baptist Church with veteran missionaries Dave and Julie Loop, and the Lord blessed and used that, learned a lot from them. During our second year on the field, the Lord began leading us to the city of Santa Maria da Feira, where we were able to find a storefront to rent with the option of buying it. And we began Wednesday evening services, the second Wednesday of January 2018. And so we have been meeting for the last 5 years, began Sunday services in September of 2018. And the Lord has blessed and grown the ministry, and we're so thankful for what he has done. He has also allowed us to buy that storefront, and so that is a blessing. But with that, we're already reaching capacity for that storefront, and so if you can pray that we can get an auditorium stretcher to stretch out the auditorium and the classrooms, that would be fantastic. But no, on a serious note, if you could pray that the Lord would provide us with what is needed and that there would be people who continue coming and attending and that they would grow in the Lord. With that, I don't want to steal all the thunder from the video, so at this moment, let us watch the video.
Hello, we are the DeCunha family to Portugal, where we have been serving since April 2016. God has blessed the ministry in many ways over the last 7 years. We would like to quickly share with you 8 blessings from those 7 years. The first and greatest blessing we have seen, of course, were 11 salvations. 4 of those were at a summer camp in 2021. The other 7 were José, Luisa, Juliano, Gladys, Caio, Tirza, Jonathan, and Martin. The second blessing we would like to share with you was seeing 5 people baptized this past March. We had the privilege of baptizing a father and son named José Joaquim and José Enrique. We also baptized Carla and our 2 oldest children, Tirza and Jonathan. The third blessing was seeing our church plant officially organized this past year to be Bible Baptist Church of Travanca. The fourth blessing has been how God has grown the ladies' ministry this past year. 2 highlights we would like to point out are 1, the ladies' conference that we hosted in March. God blessed the conference with a wonderful spirit among the ladies, and they were spiritually strengthened and encouraged. The second highlight was how Gloria was able to train 2 ladies named Clegy and Josiani to teach the lesson at the ladies' meeting so that it might continue in our absence. The fifth blessing we would like to share with you was our 3rd annual Children's Day on the first Saturday of June. It is a wonderful fall festival style event with many fun games and a bounce house. We had a great attendance of 21 children with 1 first-time visitor and a fantastic team of workers. The sixth blessing was hosting Vacation Bible School for the first time this past summer. Every year, our city hosts a medieval fair. We decided to incorporate that into our Vacation Bible School schedule, and God blessed with 12 children in attendance over the course of the week. 2 of those were first-time visitors. The seventh blessing was beginning our discipleship ministry this past year. What a wonderful time it has been to connect with the church family, to teach doctrine, to answer questions, to counsel, and to mentor. We have been blessed to see 7 church members complete this discipleship course. They were George, Talish, Diego, Josiani, Carla, Jose, and Glicia. The 8th blessing has been training 2 men to preach and to oversee the church during our absence. Please be in prayer for George and for Diego, that God would bless as well as protect them and their families. We have talked about these 8 blessings, but what is next? More of the same. We will continue preaching the gospel that souls might be saved, baptized, and discipled. Would you be praying with us that this next term the Lord would raise up a man who would be called to be a pastor, who could be trained to take the church plant? Would you be praying with us that we might be able to begin another Bible study in a neighboring town? Would you be praying with us that we might be able to train our church family to disciple others and to reach others with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Might you be praying that the work of God might multiply there in the country of Portugal? Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And may God continue to richly bless you.
If you'd please open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you're opening up your Bibles. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As you're opening up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, does anyone have any questions about the country of Portugal, about our ministry there, anything at all? One thing that I have had many questions about is, what about those people with the medieval attire? As I mentioned briefly in the video, every year there's a medieval fair there in town. It started out really small, just a local thing, but it has grown, and we have people that travel over from Spain to come to that fair. And a few years ago, they were seeing 50,000 people in attendance daily. 50,000 people. So we incorporated that with our vacation Bible school. Our activities in the middle of vacation Bible school time frame were there at the medieval fair. We walked the 2 kilometers there, did about an hour of activity there, and then we walked back, tired the kids out in the nice hot summer sun so that they would sit still and listen during the lesson time, and also so that they could enjoy themselves. If they were faithful attenders all through the week and each day memorized the verse of the day and quoted it to one of the workers, and then quoted all of the verses all together on Friday, they got to win the opportunity of us paying for one of the activities. And we had several children that fulfilled that challenge. And so we praise the Lord for that. Any questions, though, about the ministry there, about the country of Portugal? Brother Chris.
So you mentioned that you're outgrowing your current...
Yes, sir. Our average attendance on a normal Sunday is between 24 and 30. Now, obviously, part of that is my family, 6 people. Take that away. I would like to share a blessing with you. This past Sunday, there was 29 or 30 people in attendance, and we weren't there. So praise the Lord for that. The church is continuing strong, even in our absence. We praise the Lord for that and for what he is doing. Something that I didn't do in the video is really tell you who those 2 men are that were trained to preach. Obviously, the man with the beard and the darker hair that was up at the pulpit, he's one of them. That's Diego. And George is the other one. He was standing next to his wife in front of our church sign, and he had the Puma shirt on. So that's George. He's our deacon. and what a blessing both of those men are. Any other questions? Brother Smith. They're closed. They are closed. We do not usually actually door knock. I'm wanting to really start that up this next term. When we first went there, that first month, I door knocked, and there was a pretty good response to it, actually. But what most of the missionaries there do is we can put the flyers in the mailboxes. It's not against the law unless they have basically a do not solicit tag on their mailbox. So that is what most of the missionaries do there. Why is that? Because door knocking has been really hammered by two other religious groups, and they have left a very bad taste in the mouths of the people. Also, it doesn't jive well with the European cultural mentality, the door knocking. My wife is from Germany. For someone to show up at your door that you don't know and just start talking to you about those sort of things. Like here in the U.S., hi, my name's Josiah. I'm from Harvest Baptist Church. I just wanted to give you an invitation. What's your name? That's rude. That is rude in Germany. And so I think Portugal, I think we would be able to do that. And so we're going to be trying to work on that. But we flyer into the mailboxes. We can also put up posters, A3 or legal size posters outside of the apartment buildings, unless they have a sign that says don't affix anything here. And sometimes we can still affix things there. With that, that's how we saw one of our faithfully attending families start coming, our second really faithfully attending family that got plugged in and has brought a lot of other families. We put up a poster for the Children's Day, and they saw it the week afterwards, and they came to Sunday church because of that. And so that is where actually we have seen one of the greatest responses evangelistically, that and the flyers in the mailboxes. Yes, miss. Yes, so we put our children in Portuguese kindergarten. Our daughter graduated, and she speaks Portuguese without an accent very, very well. 2 years later, our son was graduating from kindergarten, and I began to get emails from the school district about enrolling him in first grade and saying, hey, you need to hurry up before there's no openings left, no vacancies. Well, we were homeschooling our daughter. She is a student of our home church's Christian school. And so I didn't pay attention to these emails. We're going to do that. Well, long story short, the school district said that we were being educationally negligent, reported us to a different entity. There's a threat of possibly losing our children. And so there was a consideration of perhaps having to come off the field. Praise the Lord, we were able to get a hold of a lawyer that knows school choice laws there in Portugal. And this past September, we were able to get that resolved. We now have a paper saying everything is okay. However, when people ask us about what our children are, they are satellite students of an international school. They are not homeschooled. Portuguese constitution says that homeschooling is fine, but since they came out of that dictatorship over the last 40 years or so, the laws have become more and more refined and crafted as to make it difficult to do that. So please be in prayer for that. With that, we now, just to be on the safe side, will about every 5.5 months be leaving the country for about 2 weeks due to Portuguese laws and loopholes. So we'll be leaving the field for about 2 weeks every 5.5 months, and then we'll come back in, and we'll just be doing that to safeguard our children and to continue serving the Lord there faithfully. With that, other challenges we face is just loneliness on the field. We have wished many times that we had another missionary family serving with us, but there is a bright side to that, and I'll mention that in the message in just a moment. We now have about 23 minutes until the hour, so if you all don't mind, I'm going to launch into the sermon. If you have more questions for me, I would be delighted to answer those afterwards next to the table. If you're afraid you'll forget that question, please write it down real quick, and I will do my best to answer any question you might have. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, let's pray, and then let's dive into this text. Father, we ask for your hand of blessing upon your word tonight. Lord, we are hungry to hear from you. We desire to know you and to grow in you and to be encouraged in your word and ways. Please help us to love you and to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy 1:13 to 2:2. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. A side note, this is love month, is it not? And the world says we can find love in so many different ways, but true love is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And only in him can we learn about true love and how to truly express love and give love unto others. It doesn't matter what Disney says. That is not true love, what they teach. The Bible teaches true love. Jesus teaches true love. Continuing on. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What is going on in 2 Timothy? What is going on is that there is a man who is writing a letter to his protege. A mentor is communicating with his protege, Timothy. Paul had trained Timothy, his son in the faith. They met in Acts chapter 16. And then as time went on, Paul trained Timothy for the ministry. And Timothy went forth and served the Lord faithfully. But he is writing to help him out, to answer questions, to encourage him, to remind him to stay faithful. In my life, I have 5 male mentors. My father, former missionary to Portugal, Anthony de Cunha. My uncle, Gary Keck, missionary to Papua New Guinea. My cousin's husband, E.J. Johnson, who serves on the janitorial team at Lancaster Baptist Church. My pastor, Pastor Joel Counts of Bible Baptist Church, Victorville, California. And the Spanish pastor of the same church, Pastor Daniel Solorio. Each one of these men has invested in my life in different ways and mentored me in different ways. And over the last 7 years, as I have had questions about the ministry, I have contacted them asking them these questions, and they have done their best to biblically answer. But one of those times stands out in particular unto me. We have a wide variety of different religious backgrounds coming into our church family. And I contacted my pastor about one of them in particular. I don't remember exactly which one. But I asked him, Pastor, how do I explain to this person that this is not correct? This is not biblical. And Pastor wrote back to me. And his answer, paraphrasing it and summarizing it, was this. Don't. Preach and teach the word. Preach and teach the word, Sunday and Wednesday, day in, day out, week in, week out. Preach and teach the word, the word, the word. And as you're faithful in that, they will either be convicted by the word of God, which is a two-edged sword, which pierces even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, or they will harden their hearts and they will realize that your church is not for them, and they will move on. And I have done my best to receive that instruction of his. Here in 2 Timothy, we see Paul giving instruction unto Timothy. Point one, the instruction. And it begins right here in chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The first instruction was to be strong. To be effective Christians, we must be strong in the Lord. If we want him to work through us freely, we must be strong in him. There must not be anything that would impede us from serving him or keep us from serving him. We must be strong in the Lord. I am reminded of Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I don't know if any of you guessed looking at me, but I am not athletically inclined. Not at all, by any means whatsoever. I am a bookworm and a video game nerd. That is what I am. But I do love to run. Distance. Not sprints. These short, stubby legs don't help me out in sprints. But distance. And my father taught me a little bit about running. He ran cross country in high school. 13 miles a day he ran. And he taught me, Josiah, when you're running, don't be looking to the sides, and don't be turning around and looking behind you. You're going to slow yourself down if you do that. You may not see what's in front of you, and you're going to trip, and you're going to fall. So keep looking forward. Keep looking at the finish line. Keep looking at the end. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. We must keep our eyes on him. We must be strong in him. But how do we keep our eyes on him? How do we stay strong in him? By being in his word each and every day, by spending time in prayer each and every day. And by the way, when I say spending time in it, I'm not saying 30 seconds, 5 minutes. How many of you here are married? Everybody, I think, or just about everybody. If you spent 5 minutes a day in communication with your spouse, how long do you think your marriage is going to last?
5 minutes.
Good answer. Good answer. We must spend time with him truly. We must repent of our daily sins. Lord, I'm sorry for how I failed you. Please help me to turn away from that and to leave it behind, to forsake it. And we need to be strong in him. This reminds me of Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Can I give you the deep theological definition of walk? It means live, breathe, eat, and sleep. Live, breathe, eat, and sleep Jesus. That's what it means. There in Portugal, the young men live, breathe, eat, and sleep soccer or real football. Real football. When I'm here, that's real football. And when I'm there, American football is real, just so I can stir the pot. But they love it. Those young men, they'll spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes longer in front of a goal with a piece of orange plastic taped up in one of the corners. They'll line up the balls, and they'll kick those balls toward that orange plastic in the corner, training their accuracy. And they're happy doing that. They love doing it. Here in the U.S., various sports, various activities, but let's mention one in particular, basketball. And they'll get that ball cart and put it next to the free throw line, and they'll spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes, hours shooting those balls at the basketball hoop. They live, breathe, eat, and sleep Jesus. What do we live, breathe, eat, and sleep? Jesus or HBO? Jesus or Disney Plus? Jesus or whatever? What do we live, breathe, eat, and sleep? Jesus. I I had the privilege of having a rather long conversation with my pastor just a few weeks ago. We traveled over to Lancaster, California, and had some really good conversation. And he mentioned how we had had a family in our church from, I believe it was the country of Nigeria. And he asked them, what is different between Christianity here and Christianity there? And this family responded to them, there in Nigeria, when you get saved, church becomes the center of life. You're there every time the doors are open. Every activity, you're there. You stop by during the week. You leave stuff at the church. You meet people at the church. During the week is the center of life. And here in the U.S., and this is that family saying this, we play at church. That's what they said. Are we walking in Jesus? The next verse, Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. There in Portugal, the Portuguese people, if they have a bit of yard, they will plant a vegetable garden, cabbage, tomatoes, turnips, radishes, and a whole assortment of other things, alho francês, or leeks, I think is what it's called in English. They will plant those there. And to incorporate ourselves better, integrate better with the Portuguese culture, we have tried to do that over the years. And by we, I mean Gloria has tried to do that. I've helped some, but it's her project. But we've learned something over the years. If those plants don't have good roots, they're not going to give good fruit. And in order to have good roots, there can't be a lot of rocks in the soil. If there's a lot of rocks in the soil, the roots are going to be stunted in their growth, and they're not going to bring in a lot of water. They're not going to bring in a lot of nutrients, and they're going to shrivel up and die. We've also learned if there's a bunch of weeds around it, the weeds are going to choke out the plant. They're going to steal all the water. They're going to steal all the nutrients. What's that mean for us, though, Brother DeCunha? We need to get the rocks out of our heart. We harden our hearts so easily unto the Lord. No, Lord, this area of my life is for me. No, this area is for me. No, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm not going to work with the children. I'm not going to work with the teens. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do... We need to break up the hardened areas of our hearts. We need to cast those rocks out. We need to rip up the weeds of our life. What are the weeds? The things that distract us and steal our attention from the Lord. I mentioned I'm a video game nerd. I am not athletically inclined, but give me Nintendo 64 and Mario Kart and I'll whoop the socks off of every one of you. I will whoop you at it. That's a bit arrogant, I suppose, but I played it a lot, and I love playing it. And that's why we don't have a video game system. We decided we would never get one, because 15 minutes becomes 2 hours far too easily. And so we removed that temptation. But what is the weed that is in your life that is stealing from your time with the Lord? Sweet hour of prayer. That shouldn't just be a song. That should be a reality for each and every one of us. An hour, Brother Josiah, that's like, wow. Get up and go on a walk with your Lord and Savior. Go on a walk with him. He's right there. He's everywhere. And he hears you. So walk and talk with him. There's enough weirdos out there already talking to someone who's not even there. Why don't we go out and talk to someone who actually is there? And if they think we're weirdos, who cares? They already think we're weirdos. Let's just confirm it for them. We need to be rooted and built up in him. Why? Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. The winds of this life will howl against you. They will blow against you, striving to knock you flat on your back, striving to uproot you and blow you away from the Lord. By that, I do not mean you can lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But you can wander away from the Lord. And the devil wants us to wander away from the Lord or be lukewarm. What are we going to be? Are we going to be tumbleweed Christians or sequoia Christians? Are we? Those trees are majestic. They're huge. Are we going to be like them? But it's a personal decision. You have to make the decision that you're going to put in the time and the effort. Pastor can't do it for you. Mrs. Cook can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You must ask the Lord to do it in your life. You have to make the decision and remain faithful unto the Lord in that. The second instruction was to teach. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, to teach what was heard. Whether or not we like it, each and every one of us is teaching something in what we say, in what we do, or in what we do not do. And I'm about to step on toes, and I beg pardon, but I do not beg pardon at the same time. Everything we do, we are teaching something. When I get back to Portugal, I am going to have to talk with one of our church family members. We have a teenager who is gifted at playing football. And as he rises in the leagues, the demand upon his time changes. It has changed to where no longer are the games on Saturday. They are now on Sunday. Sunday morning, guess what time they're at? Church time, 11 a.m. And guess what's happened to their church attendance? It's suffered a lot. And what they're teaching him, whether they intend to or not, is when it comes to a choice between God or something else, well, God understands. He knows my heart. He knows I want to be there. God understands. Really? Really? I don't think so. I don't think so. And what's going to happen in that young man's life later on? Oh, he's going to make even more choices where he chooses other things over God. What is going to happen with his kids? Are they even really going to see church very often because of the choices that were made by his parents to allow that to happen? I love them. Please don't misunderstand me. I love them. I understand that there is a possibility of a career future there. But the percentage is so few of athletes being able to make it professionally in that way. The Lord is more important. The Lord is more important. We are each of us teaching. What had Paul taught Timothy? In Acts chapter 16, they first met and Paul heard him teaching unto a congregation of people. Later on, he would hear him teaching one-on-one as he mentored him and trained him to be a preacher. But you know what? Paul also taught him through his actions. There in Acts chapter 16, Paul went to the city of Philippi, led Lydia, the seller of purple, unto the Lord. Then they were followed by a slave girl that was demon-possessed. And Paul finally turned around and said, "Get out of her." And most people believe, including myself, that she got saved. But because of that, her owners were enraged and demanded that Paul and Silas be arrested and thrown in prison. They were, and they were beaten. And what did Paul do there in prison? He had just been beaten. His feet were in stocks. Did he start crying? "Ah, they don't love me. Oh, I'm going to go home." Did he do that? No. He sang praises unto the Lord. They sang praises unto the Lord until midnight. And then there's an earthquake. The doors were open. The prison warden came in, and he got saved. And his household got saved. And Timothy saw Paul living what he taught. What are we teaching? What are we teaching? To teach what was heard to faithful men. The same commit thou to faithful men. Men who are faithful to the Lord, to the word, to prayer, to church attendance, to church service. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." George, I have asked him to preach. I have trained him to preach, and I asked him to preach, and he is helping to oversee the ministry while I'm gone. He's leading it. He's our deacon. But I didn't start just out of the blue, "Hey, you're going to preach and you're going to lead the ministry while we're gone." It didn't start that way. He started attending in January 2020, before our first furlough. A month later, when we were back here in the U.S., COVID hit. When we got back, he was still there. And we began meeting outside. And he helped with setup and tear down. And after a while, I said, "George, would you be willing to teach the children's class?" And he was terrified of it. But he said yes, and we taught him how to do it, how to teach him. We gave him a curriculum. And the first few weeks were rough, but he grew in it, and he improved in it. A year and a half ago, I asked him, "George, could you preach?" And he was scared again. But I said, hey, we'll meet several times before you preach. We'll find the text together. We'll pray over it. We'll read over it. We'll talk over it. I'll teach you how to preach. I translated some of my preaching class notes to help teach him how to do that. And he did fantastic. I mean, there were problems, yes, but he did fantastic for his first time preaching. And he's grown in it. But he had to start somewhere. He had to start with proving himself faithful unto the Lord, faithful unto the Word, faithful unto prayer, faithful unto church service, and faithful unto church attendance. And because he proved himself faithful in that, then he was asked to serve in that manner. What about Paul? He's the writer of this. Where did he start? He was Saul, the persecutor of the church. But he got saved, his life was transformed, and he became Paul the Apostle, arguably the greatest missionary to have ever lived. He's had to start somewhere. To faithful men, to teaching men, who shall be able to teach others also. The goal is not just to lead somebody to the Lord and then leave. No, they need to be baptized. Then they need to be trained. They need to be discipled and trained how to teach others also. That is our goal there, to train our people how to teach others also, how to reach them with the gospel, but then establish them in the gospel. And that is the goal there. In verse 2, it says, "Commit, the same commit thou to faithful men." That word has several meanings. It means to place alongside or present as food to someone. I like food. Some people eat to live, others live to eat. I live to eat. But that word also means to deposit in trust or into the protection of another. 2 Mondays ago, my wife and I went on a date. We left our kids in the care of Pastor Daniel Solorio and his wife Irma because we trust them. But with that, because we trust them, we didn't call them every 5 minutes. "How are the kids?" We left them alone because we trusted them. I've done my best to teach and to train George and Diego. And now, I am contacting them, yes. But I'm not every day, "Hey, how are you doing? How's your Bible reading, your personal devotional life going? Are you spending time in the Word? How long are you spending in the Word? Where did you read? How did God work in your heart? What are you praying about? How is the sermon coming? How many points? Do you have a poem in there? What verses are you using?" Oh, no, not that verse, this verse. Because if I do that, in essence, they're going to give up, right? They're going to know, "Pastor doesn't trust me, so what's the use?" I have to trust them, and I have to let them make mistakes. And when they make the mistakes, I have to call and say, "Hey, bonehead, what were you thinking?" In nice ways, in Christian love, of course. And they have to be man enough to realize that they messed up, yes, but I have to let them make mistakes. Otherwise, they're not going to grow. I made mistakes, says a missions intern, and I'm still making mistakes even now. I remember as I was interning at our sending church, we went to a youth conference somewhere, and I did some bonehead maneuvers while we were there on that at that youth conference. I got back from it, and Brother DeCunha, my office. Yes, sir. But it's necessary. We all have to grow, and there has to be trust. But what's the reason behind all of this? Point two, quickly, point two, the reason. What is the reason behind all of this? Let's go back to chapter one. There was a reason we read those verses. The reason, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. We read that, and we're left with the sense that they didn't just turn away from Paul, but they also turned away from the Lord. Many will wander away from the Lord, and many already have. We need to stay faithful to the Lord, and we need to train others also. The next verse, Paul writes, and he said, he praises Onesiphorus. He says, this man came to me as I was there in Rome, and he ministered to me. He encouraged me. And then in the very next breath, he says, teach others also. That which thou hast heard of me among many faithful witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What's my point? Onesiphorus came to Rome, and he encouraged Paul. He uplifted Paul's spirits, or like Aaron and Hur did with Moses in the battle against the Amalekites, he held up Paul's arms. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms. Whenever Moses' hands were up, the battle was going in their favor. They were having victory over the Amalekites. When his hands went down, the Amalekites began to win, right? But what's my point? The ministry of Harvest Baptist Church cannot just be the ministry of Pastor Cook, Pastor and Mrs. Cook. If they're the ones that are leading, doing everything, carrying everything, the ministry will die. It will die. They need faithful men and women to stand alongside of them, to lift their arms up. Pastor Cook needs an Aaron on one side holding up his arms. He needs a her on the other side holding up his arms. But you know what? The arms of Aaron and her get tired as well. And they need someone to help hold up their arms. And that person needs someone else to hold up the arms. And that person needs someone else to hold up the arms. Everybody in the church needs to serve. We need more servants at every level in the church. Everyone who is part of the church family. I didn't say church member. Church family can serve in some way. Yes, there are some things that are only for the church members, rightfully so. But all of the church family can do something. There's a toilet to be cleaned after services. There's a floor to be vacuumed. Someone needs to count the tracks and bundle them up for Saturday morning outreach. Somebody could stay here and praying if they're physically incapable of going out and knocking on those doors. Everybody can do something to serve. More laborers at every level are needed, are necessary. I talked about rooted, right? Being rooted. And I talked about that vegetable garden. Why can that sequoia tree stand? Because its roots are deep and they're wide. And the deeper they are, the wider they are, the higher the tree can go. And the wider its branches can be, casting a shadow for that which takes shelter underneath its branches. The church is to be a hospital unto the broken spirit, is it not? The higher and the wider the tree, the more fruit it can bear. And the more fruit it bears, the more trees it plants, which can grow elsewhere or other churches. The stronger you, Brother Chris, are, and your wife, the stronger you are, Brother Sam, and your wife, the stronger you are, Brother Jose and Maria, and each and every one of you, the more that Harvest Baptist can do here in Goodyear and around the world. But are you ready to serve? It's not easy. And I know you all have been through stuff. But the Lord still needs us. He needs our service. Until he calls us home, he needs our service. He wants it, and we can serve him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your holy word and this opportunity to hear from your word. We ask and pray, Father, that you'd help draw us close unto thee, that we might love you and serve you more. We thank you for how you have worked in our lives, and we do pray that you would continue to work in and through our lives. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, I'll pass it over to you.
His head are back.